Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I am your host, Carl Fiadini. We're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive. On the menu today, and thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for the production. We've got this, oh my gosh, it's a limoncello agave paste porchetta. My gosh. The guest today is a friend of ours, all right? We're talking about a Walk and Talk Media culinary partner. That means check out his restaurant recipes video series on thewalkandtalk.com. The chef, Thomas Parker. He'll be joining us in a bit. He cooked up this BLF GT thing, and we're going to get into that. And it was freaking amazing. Jefferson Starship, Chef Jeffrey Schlissel, my man. Why don't we jump into pre-shift, and why don't you explain some of these dishes that you cooked up today to the audience, you son of a bee.
You know, it was one of those things we were talking about what we would want to do for September, and I wanted to showcase some stuff going into fall. And I also want to do something that, you know, people can grill, and it's some stuff that's not been seen before, hasn't been seen in a while. It's like trussing that we talked, like 50 shades of pork. So porchetta is the best of both worlds. It has a pork tenderloin in the center of it, then it wraps around the entire thing as the pork belly. But it's what you put inside the rub that gives it the intensity of the flavor profile. This one we did, the sun-dried tomato, pickled garlic, pickled fennel, sun-dried tomato oil, salt, pepper, fennel pollen, and a little bit of fenugreek that we talked about with Chef Thomas earlier. And then we served that with chimichurri, and then we did polenta cake.
All right, wait a minute. The polenta cake is ridiculous. I like polenta, but I've not ever had it in that application before.
Yeah, it's so, you know, back in the day when I was going through culinary school and I did my externship, it was at La Cucina Toscana in the Bonaventure Hotel and Spa, and Patrick Small Camachi, who's the chef, he was from France, we would do polenta, and it had to be different forms of polenta, and we would try to come up with different things. And then we did the grilled polenta, and that char, when you have a beautiful, you know, grill going, and then you have that char flavor in there, it really locks it in. And we're trying to, you know, do that with the searsol, which is a tool that I brought. Thank God I brought it to John, because I'm always the one that comes over here and spends money when I leave, because he has these neat little gadgets. Today I did it to him. So it's on Amazon, and it's one of the things that you take a little torch you do for like a plumber, and it goes, it fits over that torch. It heats up to about 800 to about 1200 degrees, depending on where you, how far you put it in, as
it,
far as
the it looks tent. Like a, it looks like a floodlight.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just gets super wicked hot. And you can sear tuna, you can sear steak to it. But what's really good is you can also sear applications you would never think of, like bread, like polenta cakes. So that's where I was kind of using it today.
Did I mention how amazing the polenta cakes are?
Yeah, we'll have two different cheeses in there too. We also used, because Pooch reached out, he said, hey, where can I get some violet, which is up in your neck of the woods,
Foodie Chef. Patootie Foodie in patootie. The house.
Definitely. Yeah, so when Thomas moves up to Georgia, that's actually where it comes from. It's this yellow and purple corn. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is going to be really cool. It's going to have different colors. The flavor profile was sweet. It was really cool to have that in there. But then the Manchego and the Fontina, it plays with your the palate.
Yeah, the Fontina, you get that first, and then it ends.
I'm sorry, it was Gran Panada. Sorry, Gran Panada. Sorry, that's what it was.
That you get first, and then it ends on the Manchego.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
And then...
fantastic.
How about that sandwich, though?
Oh, my God.
So we took the porchetta. We did charred broccoli rabe. We did a slaw with ouzu. Had that lemon or limoncello glaze on the top of that. And then it had the Fontina and the... what was the other cheese? Fontina and provolone. That's what I used. And we then caramelized the outside, and we had garlic and onions that we pureed, and then use that as like a base or a sauce. And then the last but not least, we had these beautiful porterhouse. I think they were like 3-inch cut thickness of domestic lamb porterhouses that were just insane.
Yeah.
And then I dusted that with matcha green tea with mint, a little bit of salt. And then hit that with a black garlic reduction with farro, which is this beautiful, it's almost like a rice. It's a grain. It's one of those ancient grains. And then did that in the style of risotto. And then we did blistered tomatoes on there as well. And then for the piece de resistance, because you work with a camera guy who says, where's the textures? Where are your colors? Where's this? So I did something that was a little bit different. I took one of those things that's on social media is where everybody's doing dehydrated, you know, pears, and they're candying them. So I just dehydrated them with blackberry. And then I first glazed it with harissa, which is a North African pepper, and a little bit of thyme, some salt, and then dehydrated. And a chef was asking me, how long did it take you? It was like 15 hours. First at 160 degrees for about 5 or 6 hours. And then I dropped it down to 120 for the remaining 10 hours, but they were delicious.
And for those of you out there keeping track on this, when you see the pictures of this dehydrated fruit on the plate, you're definitely going to want to listen to this again and take note of, the temps and and how long, because everything was freaking amazing. I'm going to have to bring, you, when I go to the doctor next, I'm taking you as proof of why I'm just, you know, happening to me.
And your wardrobe.
My body is just is transforming. Yeah.
But you're having fun doing it.
It's I said it the other day. This is the best, nicest 25 pounds I've ever gained in my life.
It's what you said is the funnest.
It's the funnest, yeah.
But here's the problem with today, because, you know, Chef brought in his sandwich that we're going to talk about in a bit. Uh-huh. We had to plead with John to actually, because we went into a food coma. We actually are on an espresso right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm ready to crawl up under the table, go to sleep. Like, I'll sleep for 15 hours right now.
Right there to your right. There's a little pillow right next to Smokey.
Yeah, you can have a seat. Yeah. I mean, I can sleep 15 hours. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have another 3 inches on the waist. You see how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's people, look, don't do what I do. Don't do it. Run the other way.
Well, what's great about what we're talking about here is we're going to talk about techniques today, mm-hmm. but in the future, we're actually going to have part of our website's going to have like the school of the walk and talk.
Yeah.
So you can actually get the intimate details of how chefs really put out some really good food, because here's the, and then when Thomas Parker comes on, he'll tell you too. So you don't have to, it's not brain surgery we're doing. It's just that we've learned over a period of time of how to execute food the right way.
Right. So, and when we get into the different techniques, I am going to share the techniques of the chew and the swallow and of the
proportion of bite
and going to your Amazon and ordering the next size up on pants. I'm going to get into that. All right.
What was the BTS today? That somebody called you.
Oh, so Amy says, Amy Yee shoots the thing on the social media and she's like, what's BTS? Is that big tummy status? And I'm like, oh my God, it's brilliant. Yeah. I got big tummy status in the house. That's exactly what's going on here. Oh my goodness. Hit the nail on the head.
Yes.
And she's supposed to bring bread someday. Dude, look, I know you're hearing this at this stage, Amy, you're listening, right? But bring me the bread. Okay.
Well, what do you want? She's got sourdough. She's got English muffins. No, she's got challah. She's got.
I want to eat like
bulls.
Look, stop. Stop it. Sourdough or English muffins. Perfect. Yes.
Oh, they're sourdough English muffins, by the way.
Oh my God. Stop it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I want to throw myself off a building. Just like, oh my God. All right.
By the way, stretch pants is, order those.
I think they don't they have those? Yeah. Like the ones that look like jeans?
Yeah,
like
now they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need those.
I'm graduating to something different in my life here. Okay. Enough about me. Thomas Parker.
What's going on?
What is up, my brother? How are you doing?
Oh, good, man.
Man, you got like, so we got a lot of cool stuff, cool things happening here on the show, but you have cool things happening right now as well. Why don't you talk about it?
God, I do. My life has changed so much over the last 2 months. You know, I was at the Carroll Hotel doing my thing there. And then all of a sudden, Mainsail Lodging and Development, who I work for, they brought this amazing opportunity to meet. I get to go up to Fayetteville, Georgia. You know, this hotel is not even opening until January 18th of 2024. So we're 5 months out still.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to be a part of the design and build of the entire food and beverage culinary operation in this hotel. I've done openings before, but never have I had this much time and to really put a craft on creating, you know, more so than that, the theme of this hotel is every chef's dream. It's the art of storytelling.
Yeah. All right. So the actual build of this, of the property is very unique. Right. And I feel like let's spend a minute. Okay. Talk about like a bit of this, what this is going to be. Cause I think the people who are listening to this are going to start booking in advance.
Yeah. It is in the town of Trillith, which is in Fayetteville, Georgia. So Trillith is not actually a town. It is a little township that has been created there. If you've ever heard of Trillith before, it's probably because of Trillith Studios, which is now the largest movie production studio in the country. Not Hollywood, not LA. It's in Fayetteville, Georgia. It's where, you know, the Avengers movies have been filmed, mostly all the Marvel movies as of late.
What about The Walking Dead? Is that out there too?
The Walking Dead was filmed there. I mean, there's so much going on. I can go for the next 20 minutes of things that I've been told. But super cool. I was there 2 weeks ago and they took us on the whole golf cart tour of the studios. Lasted an hour. That's how big this facility is. You get to go inside of one of the studios and you see that it's 5 stories tall. Like it's just a big empty room. And that's where these sets are built and everything you see. And I just watched the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And
when we come up there and we start doing filming with you, okay, for Restaurant Recipes on the new property, I want a golf cart. I want to go where Carl loses his eye. Okay. That's where if somebody can just bring me there. All right.
Surprised you haven't done that in a kitchen yet.
I mean, it wasn't reported. I mean, you know, yeah, there was a incident. No, I'm kidding. Never happened. But the books and the, you know, the hotel and.
Yeah. Like I said, the theme of the hotel is the art of storytelling. So the entire design of the hotel was on old school literature and movie, anything that tells a story, which can be anything, which is why like I'm curating my menus around every dish having a story behind it of some sort, whether it's this famous meal from literature or in this movie, there was a huge scene as they were eating this meal or something my mother taught me how to cook.
I have something for you. How about one of the dishes? Like if, when somebody wants like a guiltless sort of a dish, you know, something, you know, low fat, whatever, call it the Lilliputian salad. No? Lilliput? No? No? All right. That's, no. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's lost.
Leave that for us.
Yeah. It's, you know, entertainment here is lost on you guys. All right. So speaking of storytelling, let's get you to talk, tell a story about that amazing sandwich.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
The BLFGT is what we called it, huh? So bacon, lettuce, fried green tomato. Another thing that I really want to focus on is that local cuisine in South Georgia, even here in Florida, you know, you have the Southern cuisine that always hits home around here. So the movie Fried Green Tomatoes was filmed in Julietta, Georgia.
Of course it was.
And, they turned a corner store into what they called the Whistle Stop Cafe. And their big seller was fried green tomatoes. And actually after the movie was done filming, the owner of the corner store turned his store into the Whistle Stop Cafe. And they continue to sell fried green tomatoes to this day.
You actually made fried green tomatoes like sexy today. Like that sandwich was pretty amazing. Right now, it seems that whenever you hear me talk about the food and it's so great, it's amazing. It is. It is. And it seems like every time there's another dish, whether it's Jeff or Jeff, I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, that's why your belly got big.
Oh my God. But there was an aioli on there. There was the candied bacon. Like, dude,
Jeffrey
get the hell out of here. Okay?
Jeffrey said
that's
it
how,
best.
That's how awesome it is. Just get out. No, I'm kidding. So tell me.
Jeffrey said it best. Like, we've been doing this for so many years now. We take your simple sandwich, like a BLT, which is what? Normally toasted bread, bacon, lettuce, tomato,
mayonnaise,
right? So we figure out over the course of time what works, what flavor profiles go together. How do you turn something simple into something phenomenal?
Elevated,
yes.
Well, and here's the other thing too. I mean, when Chef was doing it, he wasn't using commodity bacon, which is like probably 12 to 17 slices for a pound, where his was probably like 8 mm-hmm. slices a pound. So it's the thickest. It was
thick.
So it wasn't a lardon, but it was definitely thick cut bacon. So that actually really elevates the sandwich in itself. And then the candy that he put on there with the different spices and the herbs that he had on it.
I mean, between the spice profile and then hitting like a nice piece of fried, like the fat of the bacon. Oh my God. I mean, it's like melt in your mouth.
Well, that
crispy melt in your mouth. It's weird.
The Chipotle aioli was fire.
Totally.
It works so well with the bacon because of the smokiness.
It's dope.
Just saying. It's a craveable sandwich.
It's totally a craveable sandwich. Yes. And, you know, the walk and talk podcast is a craveable podcast. And I've been actually putting that out on the social media in tags, you know, this is a craveable podcast. And it is in line with everything that we're eating on this show. And your sandwich was nothing short of that. So that's freaking amazing. All right.
It's a lot easier to play with green tomatoes because that's what you usually get anyways when you order fresh.
True story.
Now watch, you're going to order green tomatoes and they're going to come in red.
Yeah. But you know the worst one, the worst tomatoes for me, I was in produce for 20 something years. I can't stand the pinkies, the pink tomatoes, like for gas tomatoes. I don't know how anybody orders those things. I mean, I get food cost, but dude, like it's such an anchor to the quality of whatever dish you're trying to put out when you have a pinky on there.
Well, think about the pinky. What do they do with it normally? It goes in the cooler.
Yeah.
So how is it supposed to ripen?
It wouldn't ripen anyway.
Right.
It's never going to. It's gassed. It's gassed. It's never going to be, you know, it's never going to get to be this beautiful red tomato.
Well, it's like what we're talking in the green room. It's called farm to fable. Not to quote, you know, misquote Keith, but, you know, it's exactly it. It's farm to fable.
So that's actually a brilliant, sub name. You know, to what goes on out in the trade, you know, where you get people who are like, yeah, everything's, you know, fresh, local from wherever, you know, I get it right around the corner, yada, yada. I had a chef call me. This was years ago. This was in South Florida. He calls me up frantic. It was in the dead, like dog days of summer. He calls me up. He's like, Carl, I need your help. I'm like, so what's the matter? You sound like you're like, you know, the cops are outside the front door or something.
He says,
I
remember the story.
He says, the news is here. Said, okay. He goes, they're calling me out on my menu because I have everything on there is local, you know, and I don't have anything in the cooler. I need something that's local. What do you got? I'm like, dude, it's like June, August, whatever it was. I'm like, there's nothing. There's no local anything here. You know what I mean? Like there's
sweat.
So I mean, yeah. So he got, I'm not naming names or whatever. He's a good guy. It's just, you know, long story short is chefs, don't box yourself in on your menus. If you're going to play that game, at least put like when available, you know what I mean? So you have an out.
Or better yet, get with farmers that are doing hydroponic or indoor or something that you could do that you're going to use things that are seasonal.
Sure. Well, that's I think we should get back to actual
seasons. That's exactly my point. Yeah.
Seasons. Yeah. I mean, I mean, at the end of the day, I want to have watermelon and, you know, wintertime too, but really I don't, you know what I mean? It doesn't taste the same anyway. All the stuff that gets shipped in from elsewhere, by the time it gets here, I'm not for it. I think there should be seasons and it gives everybody something to look forward to in terms of like something fun in life to look forward to. Oh, it's seasonal. Oh, it's going to be ready in a few months, man. I haven't had that since last year. I can't wait to have whatever that item is.
You know, what's crazy about that? You know, I've only been here in Florida for 3 years now.
You're lucky
coming from the Midwest. Every single good restaurant in the North, you have four seasonal menus a year. And, you know, if you have your restaurant, you're waiting for that menu to come out. I've noticed that down here, like that just doesn't happen.
Doesn't exist. All.
Well, what happens is the owner of the restaurant, and they have, when they open up and the guests come in and if they change the menu, where's that dish? You have to have that on the dish. No, it's, you know, why can't we say, listen, that dish is like, for instance, grouper. Why would you have your grouper on your menu during April, March, or March, April, May? It's the season's closed. It goes up to $20 a pound. There's other fish out there.
We can get more than that now.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah. Refresh grouper out of season.
Refresh.
Yeah. Not, you know what, fresh. That is? That's frozen then thawed.
Yeah. Sounds really good.
Refreshed grouper out of season, $25 a pound. Oof.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
You know, my mother-in-law, she would be like, no.
Yeah. Like that. I mean, that's the problem, though. I mean, if we develop menus and think, you know, broad-based instead of just, you know, micromanaging and saying this is what it's going to be and that's it, that's the problem. And when you see things and, like, it says red shrimp on the menu, red shrimp is actually from the Pacific and usually off of the coast of Argentina and Chile. It's not, you know, local. Local here in South Florida is browns, the Gulf shrimp, or the pinks, which are going to be down in Key West. And you're going to pay a lot of money for it. That's
but
the problem.
But, well, listen, there's a price for that, mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know, like, that's a whole other story, but yeah, I feel like that's a topic that's not brought up enough out there.
Speaking of which, when you open the hotel, you're going to have four different times a year that you're going to change your menu, or what are you going to do there? How are you going to work that out?
I don't know yet. I've been playing around with Grant Ackett's idea at Next. Having menus themed around a specific cuisine at a specific time, and doing menus based off that versus just, and I mean, obviously they'll be based around seasonality and what's available at the time, but I haven't really figured that out yet.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, your beef is beef, you know, your meats for the most part, are pretty solid.
Well, right. They'll swing, like, for instance, you know, like veal or filet mignon or your ribeye, will, December, that will start to climb up because you have New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's just a supply and demand thing, but mm-hmm. It's available. There's always something out there being raised. It's not like, you know, cows are seasonal, you know what I mean? For the most part.
Yeah.
And so what are we really talking about? We're talking about fruits and veg. We're talking about...
You okay, Grandpa?
We're talking about fruits and veg, right? And we're talking about seafood.
Seafood, yeah.
So, you know, I'm just looking at it from just a guy who eats a lot, right? You should be able to put together menus that are pretty robust with stuff that's around, you know? I don't know.
When you're designing your menu for this upcoming hotel, are you also contemplating, like, not only the theme of the restaurant, but, like, the storytelling? But interaction with the guest as well?
Yeah. So the flagship restaurant is going to be called Prologue. And if you know what a prologue is, it's the introduction to the introduction of a piece of literature. So the idea behind it is, you know, every dish on the menu has a story, and your server therefore becomes your prologue. As the guest chooses, they explain the story behind it, you know, without getting too hokey and making it.
I mean, are they going to dress the part?
No, they're not dressing up.
God. Just kidding. Come on. I mean, we're like, here to entertain. You know what I mean?
Could be like the Fred Savage movie where he's sick in bed. And what is that called? The Princess Bride? Andre the Giant. Guy comes out dressed like him. It's inconceivable.
That's why we have you around, Jeff. Yeah. You come up with this good stuff.
I just love the concept of that whole idea, because I mean, I think that's one of the things when you look at now that we're 3 years out of COVID, you look now and go, where's our industry going? Like we talked earlier in the green room about tapas bars and, you know, small plates are going to be where I think where we're going to go. So people are shareable. But the other aspect of it is think about, like, when you go out to eat now, they slop down the food and that's it. There's no entertainment value. When before we had entertainment, that's why you went out to eat.
Yeah, but everybody's the workforce disappeared. You know, I mean, it's taken still. This. It's still very sparse to begin with mm-hmm. now. So it's hard to find people who, you know, are going to dress up like the Lilliputians from Gulliver's Travels. That was a good thing. I can't believe they glazed over it.
Lilliputians or
Gulliver's Travels? Yeah, man.
Oh, I was thinking the Oompa Loompas.
No, man.
I was the wrong one. I was
the Lilliput. Gulliver.
Yeah, I got it.
God.
I had the other one. I had, you know, Oompa, Doompa, Dindy,
yeah,
Dump.
Yeah, whatever. Dirty. So we got some pretty interesting news I don't know if I told you yet. No?
I don't know. Thomas?
When he does that, I have no idea where he's going with it. So
it doesn't gonna,
it's like Russian roulette.
Think about this. The World Food Championship. Dallas, Texas this year. November. Yours truly going to be a master judge. It's going to be, I don't know, 300 chef teams of three people. And it's going to be a madhouse. I'm so excited.
That's cool. So
it's so cool.
And see, all that eating paid off.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
The eating master judge.
Master waistline. So, but here's the cool part.
He's got 4 weeks to like train.
today was like Rocky Balboa day for me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh my God, we should do that behind the scenes.
instead of hitting the...
just force feeding him.
Well, instead of hitting the bags... Wait. Instead of hitting the meat in the cooler, I'm just grabbing chunks of meat and just...
Yeah, yeah. We can handle that.
I can do it.
Carl is the chef's foie.
Oh, wow.
We're just... Duffing his liver.
Oh my God. But here's the cool part. We're actually going to be doing the show. Walk and Talk podcast out there. So
4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. How cool is that?
That is so cool.
So there's a company called IMG. Okay. And they own little things called like the UFC and the WWE, you know, little things like that.
Yeah. Right?
They just recently over the summer, they purchased the World Food Championship. So now it's going to turn into, I mean, it was always pretty cool, but it's now going to get funneled a lot of cash. They're going to throw a lot of cash into it and promote the hell out of it. So I'm super excited for us to go and be part of this thing. So it's going to be dope.
We should have like special, because of Mark, we should have like special jackets made of purple. Hot pink or something like that. So we stand out.
My buddy, Mark Conway, he's like the Ryan Seacrest of this, you know, WFC, right?
Yeah. Oh, he likes to stand out.
Yeah. And his suits are phenomenal. Like we met him at the NAFM show last year and super cool cat. He was in this blazing hot pink
fuchsia-ish
looking suit. And I'm like, I can't pull that off. I have character and the energy, but not that. I can't do that.
No, this dude, I was running around trying to get guests to come in and he goes, well, you met Mark. I'm like, no, I had like three bumps of espresso and I was running around. He goes, yeah. I go, but I know his suit. It was pink. That's how I know. I didn't know his name. I know he would say Mark. I'm like, Mark, he goes, pink suit. Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how I knew him.
100%. Crazy. Anyway, so yeah, he called up. He's like, "Hey, man, what do you think about being a judge?" And I was like, "Yeah, hell yeah!" So super, super excited about that. Also excited. Someday we'll get into more information on it. Is our Walk and Talk, you know, food extravaganza October 23rd at Sally Mar Rooftop Bar in Midtown Tampa. That's going to be badass too. Yeah. Cause it's basically, like 50 or so people. It's going to be all chefs and, you know, foodie
bloggers.
Yeah. So it's just cocktails and food. It's going to be badass. Jeffrey over here is going to, stuff everybody's face
yeah. with food.
You should just do.
He's still in training. So I got to make sure he eats.
You know, I would,
you're going to be a couple weeks out at that point.
I know. You just got to shove it in there.
You're going to drag me across the finish line. Literally, literally.
We got a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
We got a wheelbarrow.
Oh my God.
It's Dallas.
I gotta get stretchy pants. What were those things called? We used to wear Zumbas. No. What was they?
Spanx?
Spanx. No, we didn't wear Spanx.
Actually, I want to see you in Spanx.
No, you don't.
No, and actually, you're right. I don't.
Really?
No.
You're fired.
You don't pay me. It's okay.
Get out. Wow. Leave the bacon.
All right. That's his bacon.
Today. I know, but you're the bacon cartel. Oh, I got to like explain everything today. Speaking of Lilliputian, my God. All right. But yeah, no, we have a lot to do. Like we need. So.
Victor.
Wait,
new chef.
Yeah. Well, we're looking for some sponsors for this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because what we will do is I will be wearing, you know, probably a jacket or whatever. You'll have a chef coat, obviously. And
I too.
Yeah. But I want to get them all like NASCAR logoed up. You know what I mean? So if you're listening to this and you want to be a sponsor for this event, it's going to be televised. It's giant. There's going to be probably 10,000 people there over the course of 4 days.
If not more. It's like mass hysteria, dogs and cats sleeping together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. What else falls from the sky? What was it from the
meatballs?
Meatballs. I don't know. Whatever. If you're looking, yeah, we are looking for sponsorship. So, you know, contact, give us a ring a ding. You know what I'm saying? Out there. Can you hear me? Okay.
We have somebody that I actually sent to is Angela. I did reach out to her. So I'm talking to her. So hopefully we'll get some good news from that.
Yeah. You know who wants to get involved? Oh, you know who's going to get involved with this? It's Foodie Patootie.
Ah, good old Pooch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pooch.
Yeah. Sean Rivera.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
He's a super good guy. And very soon, he'll probably be the chef personality that we kick off this, chef on the street, situation.
We're segment.
Segment. Mm-hmm. And he's looking to come. He's going to be here anytime.
He wanted to come like yesterday.
I know.
He's like, it's so cheap. Just fly and fly back.
Yeah, he's from New Orleans. And so he's going to be the, eyes and ears of New Orleans and, you know, trending, what's hot, not, and, you know, he's got some things that he wants to, you know, kind of build a platform on, which I'm not going to reveal today. I don't want to put it out there, but, yeah, it's going to be badass, you know, and he's super high energy. Like he's a lot of good character. Like I'm, there's so many things to be excited about right now. And that's just one of them. Just one of them. You're the other one, Tom.
We got Jason Pooker. We have Manny Hayter over in California. LJ Klink over in the South or Northwest. I think we had one other person that we're talking to in the Northeast. We were talking about. I can't remember who it was.
I can't now. There's so many. There was about, like a dozen chefs.
Yeah. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. We're taking over. It's going to be badass, man. It's going to be cool. Now when you get your legs under you, man, we're coming to the hotel. We're going to be probably 4 or 5 deep. Right. And we're going to do all your restaurant recipe segments. I'm sure you're going to have some amazing cocktail program for the Dirty Dash. Yeah.
Oh yeah. We have,
are you part of that or is that they leave it? Are you part of the cocktail program or no?
We haven't hired an F&B director yet, but our corporate beverage guy, Vicente, he's freaking phenomenal, like a wizard with cocktails. He's behind getting all the wines and cocktail menus together and that for us. And
like the Harry Potter of?
Yeah. Yeah. Of like cocktails. Wizard.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep it, you know, into the whole
movie genre, storytelling genre.
Yeah. And he's curating the cocktails just like I am, to tell the stories, to pair with the food and help build those stories. It's going to be dope.
Dope. Yeah. I love it. So we're still trying to get a house.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the last house that Brian sent us was the one in Plant City.
Yeah. We're going to have a brick and mortar and it's going to be something special. Podcast studio, photography studio, banging kitchen, cameras everywhere. And, we're tying it into the butcher shop. We're tying it into the fact that we've been in the top 10 on Apple Podcast charts in the food category for months and months, which is awesome. Thank you, people. Appreciate everybody. Sincerely, like, thank you.
Vicky Webster and her last Urban Farmer, her review was just stellar.
Yes.
So thank you, Vicky.
Yeah. Thanks for the 5 stars.
Yeah. Yes. And thank you for letting me play with the pigs.
That's weird.
So weird. Well, when your farmer's in a distress and you need to help them out, butcher or break down their pigs.
Your choice of words is what's weird, not the situation. Okay.
It's me.
Yeah. It's you. You're weird.
You know what I mean? I resemble that.
But I like your shirt.
Thank you. You know, pirate's life.
Oh, really? It's chefs. We're all weird.
Yeah. We're wired wrong.
I used to, when I first started, I would, one of my jobs on my apprenticeship was I had to steam the lobsters every day. I used to dump the lobsters out on the seafood counter and just play with them.
Oh my God.
Who doesn't?
You didn't name them or nothing.
Oh yeah, we did.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You would have, seriously, I know this.
Have little races.
My old sous chef, Alex Sutherland over when I was with Umi with Carmine in West Palm or PGA. We would take the lobsters, take the rubber bands off and then give them spatulas. They would have like sword fights.
Hashtag PETA's listening.
Oh my goodness. We weren't doing anything to harm them. They were just, they have sword fights.
Wow.
This is like
gladiator, lobsterator or
yeah. I mean, come on, Carl. If you knew you were about to die, wouldn't you want to have a little fun beforehand?
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, they don't scream that often. I mean, that long.
Oh my God.
Speaking of which, we could talk about the behind the scenes of what we do to how to make things go. I mean, like, how do you stuff a lobster? Do you do it first or do you kill it first or then you boil it and then take it out? What do?
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving. Your partner in organization and efficiency.
Kill it first.
Go through the process?
Yeah, kill it. Go through the whole process. Kill it. Then, you boil it, then stuff it.
Yeah. So there's different things. Speaking of a lobster, because we're on that subject, to keep a lobster straight, how do you keep a lobster tail straight?
Skewer.
Right up the...
It stays
straight. So you don't have that curve. Those are little things that with nuances that we learn over a period of time. And when people say, well, how do you produce food that quick? We don't produce food that quick. We just, timing, 18 minutes for this or 4 minutes for that and 6 minutes for that. So over a period of time, you just start learning and learning and developing. I think what's the hardest thing you make that you can think of that takes a little longest?
God, I don't even know.
Wait. Let me reel this in. Because I'm reading John. I know I'm reading John's mind. Like John's like, you guys are like totally off topic. Like, how the hell did you get into? How did you get into skewers and lobsters, bungalows? Like, how did that happen? Hold on. Stop. Ready? Stop. You made what do we call it? The pistachio dust or what? Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you pick your ingredients to make that? And how did you put it together? It's easy, right? Or not?
Well,
because that was on the rub today for the lamb.
Correct. It's a little more complicated than just throwing stuff together because you have to know the nuances of what's going to enhance the flavor profile. There's some really good books out there. If somebody wants to get into it, it's like Flavor Profile or the Flavor Bible, or there's science behind of how we taste. But then there's also this thing like, for instance, when you make a steak, how do you know what's going to go with it? You know that a ribeye is going to taste like X. And then if you put garlic, salt, and pepper, you know those flavor profiles.
If you're like me, I am like, okay, I have this steak, this piece of meat, right? And then I'm like, what else do I have in this house that I can make as a side? And it's always afterthought for me, right? Mm-hmm. And if my wife or they structure things. I am such a shoot from the hip individual where...
We know.
Yeah, I know.
John and I both know.
But it works. It gels. Things come together. You know what I mean? So
that's why you have people like who are structured like John and myself.
Yeah. I'm smart. I'm smart. I'm smart. I'm not like they say. Godfather reference.
Yes, people. I got okay. it.
All right. But yeah, no, I mean, the reality is I have to put people around me who do things that I don't do. And we're being, it's successful. You know what I mean? It's we're doing things and it's working. People, you know, our audience somehow finds us entertaining or how, whatever the hell it is. I don't even know. Like, seriously.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because I think
we just do what we do.
Because think about it. They can't like you and they probably don't like me. Why are they listening? I don't even know.
It's the topics.
It's
the chemistry.
Yeah.
It's John.
It's probably John.
John does it all. He holds it all together.
He does. He's like the safety pin here, holding up the diaper.
He's the Whoopi. He's the security blanket.
He's the Whoopi in the gold.
No, not the Goldberg. Whoopi. Huh? Whoopi. Anyhow, so getting back to the rubs and stuff and where it comes from. So I've been asked, I know there's a thing on Facebook that's been popping up. Don't stop asking chefs what their favorite meal is or what they want to cook or whatever. Somebody asked me.
Wait. No. Somebody, because I saw something like that. And it basically had to do with stop asking
chefs. Right, that's what I meant.
Don't stop.
No, stop asking chefs. I think
I gave a big middle finger to that.
The proper question would be, is how do you come up with your menu ideas? Like, how did you come up with the bacon idea today? With the candied bacon?
Oh, just experimenting. First of all, you play around with so many different ways. Like you said, you really getting an understanding of, you know, you said fenugreek earlier, you know, to know that it's super perfumey when it's in that raw state of form. But then when you cook it, it adds this beautiful, like, smokiness to it.
Oh, yeah, a little bit, almost like maple molasses to it.
Yeah. So just learning your flavor profiles and what's going to pair well together.
Yeah. I think when I was asked that question, like, how do you come up with stuff? I can, because I'm a huge sci-fi geek. I think of the Matrix and I see the ribeye in my face, like dripping down. And then I see what goes with it. Like I said before, salt, pepper, whatever. And then you're like, okay, potatoes. And then you got the camera guy over here going, well, it can't be flat. It can't be this. Okay, well, then let me do peels. And then the peel's crunchy. And then I got this texture. And like today it was like, okay, I had green, the brown, the black from the black garlic reduction. And then I came up with the idea of how do I get crunch? So I started thinking, okay, where am I going to have something with crunch? But it's not going to be thrown in there for like a rosemary sprig like we did back in the 90s and 80s. So I thought of and researched. Shut up. I know you're not even that old. And then these young guys, I researched because I had that flavor profile book, what would go well with lamb as far as a fruit was going. Cause I had wanted to experiment with the pears. That's where I came up with it. And then I thought, ooh, harissa. So it was like the James Woods, you know, like, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, this. And then, ooh, thyme. Ooh, salt. And that's how it developed. And again, an experiment. Like I didn't even try that until it was done. And my wife always asked me like, well, don't you taste your food? How can you taste the steak?
Mine's the exact same. What do you mean? The first time you're making it is, you know, the day you put it on the menu. Well, because it is, you know.
What I end up doing is I rub my belly like a genie lamp, and then
it pops out,
and it comes. Yeah, and all of a sudden it's like, make this. You know, like okay, there you go.
A lot of times, you know, like I can't yell at my daughter when she sits there in the refrigerator and she holds the door open and she's looking. I can't go, what are you doing? Because I do the same thing.
How can you not? So, you know, that's funny because I do spend a lot of time staring into the pantry and into the refrigerator. And I'm not bothering anyone, mm-mm, right? I'm just there. I pay the electric bill anyway. Like, I want the door open and I want to see what's in there. I want to see what's going to, like, pop out at me. I'm not moving anything and looking around. These women of ours, or men, or whatever you got, they need to leave us the hell alone. I want to stare into the refrigerator. I want a 1,000-yard stare into the pantry. Something is going to catch my fancy, mm-hmm, and I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to enjoy it alone. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, we think the same way. Chefs don't do anything that's different from a mom or somebody who's cooking at home. They're cooking with love. It's just like Anthony Bourdain said. When you go to somebody's house and you're eating their food, you're cooking their soul, their love. And that's the passion they have.
That's how I feel about John's cafe con leche. Seriously.
And that's how he feels about it, too. Yeah. I just realized I've had too much coffee today because I've got that woohoo on my feel like Beaker.
You've actually made that noise about six times in the last 2.5 minutes. So
well, that, you know, had no idea I was doing it because, right. Again, the Beaker goes.
Yeah.
From the Muppets.
Right.
No, that's the Swedish chef. Yeah, that's right, the Swedish chef. Right. Charles Ransmore, who is over.
Yeah, I get to work with that guy now every week. Not you, Jeff.
Isn't he happy?
Yes, I am. Look, dude, are we ever going to get this? Like, I still, do we know who the DJ is going to be? Do we have a menu for this October 23rd? Yeah,
the menu we have, Jonathan and I have already spoken, and we've worked out the details for the drinks, because that was the biggest one.
I'm like Pete Rose, and I've made a bet on this.
We don't have to do this.
We put it out there.
If you have so much doubt about it, then we don't have to do it. You can have all the reins on it.
I have such a doubt.
Can I throw it back on him?
I'm a doubting Thomas. I'm a doubting Thomas.
Why is it doubting Thomas? Doubting.
I'm not Thomas.
It should be David. Doubting Davis.
Okay, so no, it's doubting. It's a doubting Thomas. That's the saying, and there's a reason for that. But John,
there's a saying.
Yeah, don't be a doubting Thomas.
Did you know?
John, I didn't know that. Ben?
No.
He just move on.
All right. Google it, okay? Anyway.
I can't. We're during the show.
Later. Google it later. What are we talking about here? This is probably what people like, this back and forth banter.
Well, comment.
What?
Let them comment.
Nobody comments except
for... They did like the big tummy thing. What you can grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. All right. No, but seriously, like, I want to know what a menu is. Me and John and I had a conversation the other day, and it was about putting out the actual invitation for this thing. So yeah, we're going to put some stuff out. If you're listening and you get one, great. And if you're listening and you don't get one, it's not that we don't love you. It's a 50 person thing, and you know, no hard feelings.
We got 20 openings for like the regular public. We're going to have
not really.
Why?
Because we got to bring, you know, representatives from Peninsula, Moline, you know, there's a bunch of these, you know, like.
Who's coming from Peninsula? Milan?
Milan, probably Veronica. I don't know. But
who are you going to represent then?
What do you mean?
He's just going to eat.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I was waiting for. Thank you, Thomas.
I'm going to represent my waistline.
Yeah. We should have
spandex.
We should have a GoFundMe for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so you can clothe me. I need a GoFundMe for a new wardrobe. Oh my goodness. My poor children. They look at me and they're like, Daddy, no, stop eating.
No, they don't.
They don't.
You're happy when you eat, so they can't be.
I really look forward to Thursdays, man. I really look forward to Thursdays.
The other day, he calls me up. He goes, what are you doing? I'm like, I just got done working out. He's, meet me over here. Oh, whoa. Do we got to talk? Yeah, we got to talk. What'd you have for breakfast that day?
So they have this place has this. It's freaking delicious. It's a beautiful cinnamon roll that's just drenched with it's tell me that's not amazing.
It was like a cinnamon pancake, like a cinnamon bun.
It's not pancake. A pancake. It's a freaking, but it's a legit cinnamon roll, but it's like extra. Okay. It's not like a little cinnamon roll. It's giant. I ate the hell out of it. And then I had my egg sandwich. I had an egg and steak, steak and egg sandwich too.
No, you had a Cuban. Grits.
Oh, that was that day.
Yeah.
I do this often. I do this a lot. I don't know.
And what's funny is the two servers go, we're trying to figure out where we know him from. And you look familiar too. And I'm like, America's Most Wanted.
I'm like, I don't know. I come here a lot and eat the cinnamon rolls. I don't know. It's probably where you know me from. Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, week before, I was there like 3 or 4 times. You know, I had a
maybe that's why they know you.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't from the podcast. Yeah,
that's why you look
go
familiar.
There that much.
Well, it's probably both because I know anyway. So I went there with like you. I went there with Richard. I went there Oh, a few people. You work. Don't look at me, John. You work. Every time,
I live right near there. That's why I went there. It's
I don't want to hear anything from him because he's tied to his desk. And that's
it's like Faultenberg and Brandon Boulevard.
Yeah, it's an hour for you.
He doesn't mind. Look at that. Look at his face. You need to take him there now.
What was the thing in the 90s with the there was stand outside the convenience store, Silent Dave and or Silent Bob. Silent Bob and that's him.
he's like Penn and Teller.
Penn and Teller or
where Teller or doesn't talk or
Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah. So
which one was silent?
I guess the what are you doing?
I dropped my phone.
Okay,
so since you have to do that, he's looking.
Trying to put on a professional program here, and you're
seriously? Since when?
No, I don't know. It sounds good. Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob. Silent Bob is here. He's the one with the overcoat and the baseball hat. Remember?
Yeah, backwards. He always had it backwards.
Yeah.
Right. Red and white, right?
I don't remember that. That's a little bit extra. I don't know, but there he is right there. Gives a smile, you know, shakes his head, yes, no, whatever.
He talks once in a while. He just doesn't like to talk.
I don't want to. Who wants to listen? Who wants to hear that?
Eh? I do.
Do you know who this is? James Halliburton?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not that.
He's pretty. He doesn't even have gray in his beard.
You lie.
I don't. God.
He doesn't.
If there's any. He doesn't. People, you know, say what you will, but you can always trust me to say the truth. That's the. I don't BS around. Guy doesn't have a freaking gray whisker. Why would he know Jay and Silent Bob?
Well, he knew that one movie we were talking about earlier. That was an old movie.
Which one was that earlier?
Porky's.
Yeah, Porky's.
Which is so bizarre. First of all, the Porky's franchise, movie franchise.
Uh-huh.
Freaking classic.
Right. Why would he know that?
I don't know.
There's nudes.
That's I know. Why, yeah. Well, maybe that's why, yeah. Yeah, hello. He's like,
hole in the shower.
They call me meat. They call me meat. Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, that was a great one. Booger.
That was my nickname in the fraternity. Honestly, I can say that.
Yeah. Well, you were in the Lambda Lambda
no,
Lambda.
No, I was. Right? I'm a founding father of Pi Lambda Phi Kappa Omicron.
I'm pretty sure you're a Tri Lambda.
No, I was not a Tri Lambda.
I'm.
No, it was, trust me. I've got like Cindy Orr, Mike Buford, Brian Hoffman, Alan Lieberman, Danny Callahan. They can all tell you my nickname was Booger.
Your nickname is Lamar.
Okay.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, Google it.
Yeah. Watch the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny. It's not going to play well now today, like in this world. You know, but it's still hilarious.
That's
like
a whole podcast in itself. What cannot play today that played back then? Jefferson's is one show I can think of.
Everything.
A lot. Right?
Yeah. Literally everything.
Jefferson's.
Could you imagine that?
No.
All in the Family?
I loved All in the Family and Jefferson's, man. And I loved when Archie Bunker and Mr. Jefferson, I loved when they got together.
Mr. Drummond?
Mr. Drummond.
That was the next door neighbor to the Jeffersons.
Mr. Drummond?
Yeah. The white dude married to Lenny Kravitz's mother.
Wait a minute. Mr. Drummond is with Gary Coleman.
That wasn't Drummond. That was something else.
No, the father in that show is Mr. Drummond.
Who was the next door neighbor in the Jeffersons then? Oh, John's going to have to look it up now.
I don't know.
Mr.
Producer? John?
But you know what I'm talking about.
The
couple that was the mixed racial couple married next to the store.
That one, like the tall English guy. I think it was English, right?
He looked
English. I think his name was John something. I could be totally wrong, and I don't remember that. That's really going way deep, and, you know, not for nothing. I was 5 years old when I was on. So
I was older.
Yeah, you were like 11.
No, something. I'm not that much older than you.
You're freaking old. You have the gray. I mean, I do too, but you are the old man at the table here.
Wait a minute.
I feel young and viral sitting next to you.
Viral?
You know, viral.
Or viral.
Viral. I'm going to go viral for being viral. You know?
We do have to. We're missing the boat here. I don't have my glasses on, so there's no way I can see that.
It's okay, Pat.
Neither does he.
No, but I can actually read this. And let's. Harry Bentley. Paul Benedict. Yeah.
It was Bentley? Was the name?
Harry Bentley, Paul Benedict, is the Jefferson's English next door neighbor. Bentley works as
That was the one prior, though. There was another one.
Not Drummond, dude. Bentley. Drummond is from the...
Bentley was the other one.
There
was,
different strokes, dude.
Yeah, but Bentley was the other one. That was the black hair dude. That he was not married to the woman next door. That guy was a tall, blondish, older guy.
I vaguely remember.
I know that guy you're talking about.
Listen.
I think he was on Hogan's Heroes.
Well, time out. First things first. You're wrong on Drummond because that's different strokes.
That's fine.
And it takes different strokes
for different folks. I understand that. But you're still wrong on that one. Just saying.
What do you mean I'm wrong on that one? It was an English guy. I was right.
That was one neighbor. There was the other neighbor that was married to...
Well, I wasn't...
Why are we here even talking about this?
I don't know.
We're wasn't food even podcast now.
I wasn't talking about that neighbor. I was talking about this guy here.
Oh, you were talking about that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes sense. I didn't know that's who you're talking about.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Can you tell me, can somebody talk about some tangy barbecue sauce or something? Oh, my God.
How about Tillman getting it?
Somebody get me a sandwich. What's this? Tom and... Tom. Yeah, that guy. That's okay. So Tom and Helen Willis.
That's what... Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We're just talking about Willis.
No, not that. Not
again. Drummond. You were mentioning different strokes.
It's not different strokes. It's a different Willis. Oh my God. Wow. So I'm enjoying this. So anybody who's still listening at this point, like,
thank you.
And you're diehard. And you know what? Let us know because Jeff is going to make something special for you, the listener. If there's more than one, we have to choose. But if, you'll make something up and we'll.
If they're not local, I'll send them some stuff.
We'll dry ice it and send it out, man. Because if somebody just listened through to that
they
that
deserve something.
Freaking riffraff of, Thomas, I try to keep it like professional here. I try.
Look at that face. Why wasn't there a camera on that?
Why don't we have it? We have to get we need a static camera on.
We need the John camera.
The John cam. Yeah. John cam.
We have the guys, the chefs on the street, and then the John cam.
The John cam. No words, just facial expressions.
Some hand gestures here and there.
Hand gesture, you know. Right. Finger gestures.
You're number one. You're number one.
He always compliments me with that. That I'm number one, man. I love this guy. Wow. Yeah. Oh, wait. That's not what it means. Oh. Okay. All right. So, Thomas, when's the hotel opening up?
January 18th.
What do you do now?
So, we're going to be there on the 19th, is what you're saying.
What's that?
We're going to be there on the 19th, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. No. All right. So,
of March.
Yeah, after the holidays for sure. Actually, you know what? Maybe we can do a spring break over there. That might be something. My wife is always breaking my balls about, you know, going somewhere on spring break. We never go anywhere.
There you go.
Kids and everything.
What are you going to do from the time now when you move up there until January? I mean, like, what's your schedule going to be like?
Well, working from home right now, it's all the design and build of, yeah. It's so weird. Never worked from home before. Like not having a kitchen to walk into every day is weird as hell. But it's designing menus, designing banquet menus, you know, starting to do things to get our name out there.
Can I offer you some advice?
What?
Listen, you have a wife, you have a very young child, infant, you've got cats and dogs and stuff. Throw pans at them. You know, this way you can feel like you're still at, you know, like you're at work, man. You don't want to feel, you don't want to disengage too much.
Start screaming at them for no reason.
Random. Bring her into the refrigerator, open up the refrigerator, the freezer, right? And just start yelling at her. You know what I mean? Right there with the open freezer.
Why is this not organized?
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Well, we were talking in the green room about how his wife organizes the house and my wife organizes the house, which is there's null and void. There is no organization. Yeah. Well, for them, there is. It's not chef organization.
Yeah.
That's another great topic to talk about in the industry is how chefs get along with their wives and...
What do you mean? Well, the first, second, fourth wife? Like,
right, exactly.
which one exactly?
Yeah, it takes a few to find the right one.
True story.
Put up with us.
Hey, let me tell you something. Salespeople in the food industry have the same relationship statuses as many of our kitchen brethren. Yes. So just FYI, I'm just saying. all right. We're coming up on... Hey, John, roll it, baby. We're coming up on an hour here. Yeah. I, you know, Pablo Vivas. Pablo Vivas, who was the writer and creator of our intro music. Love that guy. Just wanted to do a shout out for Pablo. With that said, we will be coming to your hotel, and we're going to film, we're going to record, we're going to do some badass stuff over there with you. Are you excited?
I'm super excited.
I know you are.
You failed to mention that he's got an auditorium for something, right?
Yeah.
I have a whole kitchen theater. I'm going to put Jeffrey up there doing a butcher class.
Yeah, boy. Yep. And it's all going to be televised. I love it. All right. Chef Thomas Parker, thank you for coming out today. Chef Jefferson Starship Schlissel.
Happy birthday, Jonathan.
Happy birthday, John Hernandez. Of Ibis Images, where food photography comes alive. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. You all have a wonderful, wonderful day. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.